The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
It's Friday, October 5th.
All right.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck program.
Yes. As many of you know, science is really the main focus of this program.
And our many awards
and our many scientific papers that have been published. I am a doctor, and Stu will confirm that.
That is true.
So,
humanities. That means you can treat the entire human body.
Exactly, right.
As you tell me every single time.
Yes, I can treat the entire human body and the mind. And today we have a science experiment happening in the first hour before we get to Bill O'Reilly and the live Kavanaugh vote.
What a show this is going to be.
I'm not going to remember it. So yesterday we played this audio from Barack Obama, and I want you to listen as a scientist. Yes, play it, please.
Yeah, you know, I think I was a thug for a big part of my growing up.
He was a thug.
I think I was a very typical.
Oh boy, a word he loves. Typical.
He loves that word.
Gregarious.
Yes.
Mischievous child. Okay, as a young boy.
He was a typical child.
I think. By the time I was an adolescent and had moved back from Indonesia and was struggling with these issues of racial identity and a father not being in the house. And,
I
think that, you know, I reacted by engaging in a lot of behavior that's not untypical of black males.
What? Typical
across the country.
Black male.
I played a lot of basketball.
Basketball?
I didn't take school that seriously.
Okay, didn't take school seriously.
I got into fights.
Got into fights?
I drank.
Drank?
And consumed substances
Did drugs.
Weren't always legal.
This is amazing.
You know, I think generally was... acting out in ways that, that when I look back on it, I understand. I think that what got me through those years was sort of a natural aptitude for schooling.
Yes.
Which meant that I didn't have to
do anything,
pay attention too much to be able to keep.
God, he rambles this clip. Oh, he does.
At least.
Come on, get to it, man. Get to it.
Graduate.
Yes.
Some of my behavior was self-destructive.
Self-destructive behavior. Here is.
I might drink a six-pack in an hour before.
He'd drink a six-pack.
Before going back to class.
And then go back to class. Like okay, that. We can shut him up now. I have lots to say about this clip. Lots. Go ahead. Take it because you're already behind. Mm-hmm. The sound that you heard, a little, you know, timer, that's going to go off every... All right. A shot of a beer.
It's early for that.
That's all right. He had to go to class early.
He did.
This is science, man. Mm-hmm. Please don't question my my process. Oh, you gotta take another. You gotta take another shot.
Usually, it takes a while before they start feeling like they're coming every 5 seconds.
Well, that one. Okay. So what we're doing is, I don't believe you can drink a six pack in an hour and go to class, and you know, just everybody thinks you're normal. Hey, actually, let me change that. I don't think you drink a six pack in an hour. And then want to go to class. You just don't go.
Right.
Right?
Right. I mean,
You're like, okay, there's nothing I can do about this now.
You're not going to be coherent.
Right.
Or at least you're not going to be able to pull off, you know, the normal student role, especially for a constitutional scholar like Barack
Obama. Like a scholar. Okay. So we're testing Stu. He's drinking every time you hear that little chime. He'll be taking a shot of beer. Mm-hmm. Every time you hear that, so every minute for the next, 56 minutes or something like that?
It's until 56 after the hour, and that goes to exactly a six-pack. It's basically a power hour, but it's not... Power hour
seven
and a half beers.
Yeah. Ooh, there it is again. So
I'm going to hate that noise when it's sour.
Stop it! All right.
Oh, this is going to suck. Now, I've made a questionable choice, I will say, to lead this off. One of my favorite beers, Dogfish Head IPA. Their flesh and blood version, which is delicious. I thought, like, this is a good breakfast beer. It's got a little some orange in there. It's delicious.
You know what really pisses me off?
What's that?
I wasted all of my, well, A, all of my blackouts before my kids went into their teenage years. That's when a parent needs blackouts, okay? And also, I was still drinking when it was like whiskey, you know?
In like a dirty glass.
Yeah, it's like
smoke-filled room.
Yeah, but put it in a dirty glass. Yeah. That was my experience. Then I stopped drinking and they come out with all these great flavors. Well, of course, if they have beer that, you know, tastes like cookies, I would have been dead. Oh. Maybe it would have been gone.
I've got a Snickerdoodle Ale here.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to it in a minute.
Now, the problem with this one is I do this shot here, hold on.
Is it 7.5% alcohol, which I didn't really realize when I pulled it out of the fridge today. It's a little high.
You didn't
it's
say like, what kind.
No, but I mean, you got to figure Barack Obama, before he goes to school, it's like Bud Light or something. So that's,
Is it the typical black beer.
We should, I guess, to be really
as
loyal
non-racist
to this
as he is.
We should all come together and figure out what the typical black beer is and drink that. Thanks, Barack. Maybe he can tell us.
Can you believe that's the other thing we wanted to talk about on this? Was this guy? I'm sorry. If that was said by a white guy, it would be so racist. Can you imagine anybody saying, well, you know, the typical black experience, you know, they'll get up and they'll play a lot of basketball. They don't take school seriously. They get into a lot of fights. They drink a lot, do drugs, and go to class hammered.
God, I hate this noise already. Sarah picked that noise, and I hate you, Sarah.
So,
but you're right. Even half of that is a career ender if you happen to be white or conservative.
Yeah.
Either one. Just say, Mitt Romney came out tomorrow, or Orrin Hatch, or Jeff Sessions, or John Thune came out tomorrow. Just like, by the way, one of the interesting things about the typical black person is they're always playing basketball.
He'd be done.
Kavanaugh
would be done.
Kavanaugh, yeah.
Forget it. They've accused him of gang rape, and he's still going strong. If he would have said, yeah, well, I was running the gang rape thing, you know, I thought it was better than, you know, what the typical blacks do, just playing basketball. He'd be out. He'd be out.
I mean, and the fact that he loads all of that on. The fact that he loads all that on, and there's like five horrible things. I mean, saying that people play basketball is not a bad thing.
Sorry, it's science, man.
Saying that people play basketball is not a bad thing, though it would be called racist if it was a Republican. But when you're getting into, they don't pay attention to school, they're always fighting, drinking, and doing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is legitimately like just racism. Right? It's just to say that an entire race is doing that regularly.
And, you know, I didn't notice until that time how many times he used the word typical in his.
Yeah, he likes it.
He loves the word typical.
And by the way, this, I mean, in a way, it really does vindicate this moment you had on Fox many years ago.
Do we have to bring that up?
Yes,
or is this
I
the booze
so.
Talking?
No, I'm a good half a beer in, so let me go. No, I mean, it's, in all seriousness, it's like, this, what you said at the time, and as you said, you've poorly phrased it on Fox, but as we talked about just the next day, you know, he sees everything through the prism of race.
Yes, he does.
And he said he was struggling with his life because of
drink.
Because of,
I'm a scientist.
Because of his racial identity issues.
Drink. Okay.
Do you know how Power Hour works? I have until the next one to get that thing down. It's okay. God, this is going to be hard. This is way too, it's just not the right time for this.
Right.
Know?
When is the right time?
when you're 21 is when the right time is, okay? I'm double that.
All right. You know, you're pathetic. You'll never be an alcoholic. There's a right time. Yes, all the time. Mm.
You used to not drink until it was 5 p.m., if
nope,
I remember correctly.
That's what kept me from being an alcoholic in my head.
Yeah, that was your excuse, right?
It really was.
Your little line that you drew.
Yeah, I drew this line, this crazy line, because I thought alcoholics are drunk all day. Alcoholics get up and they drink.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to do that because I'm not an alcoholic. And I would literally, no matter where I was, I had alcohol in my hand and I watched either on...
This is infuriating.
I watched either on my watch or a clock. I would watch the second hand go to 5 o'clock. And when that thing went to 5 o'clock, I drank immediately at 5. And that was the thing. Oh, you got to fill that up. Another beer, please.
I have to mix the beers?
Yeah. Well, drink it and then drink another one. I mean, if you, you know, you're gonna burn some alcohol, some calories by.
So this is one can down, beers. By the way. What time? Jesus, early. This is still early in the hour. This is not gonna be good. At some point, you're just gonna need to take me off of this microphone because this is not.
No, I don't think so. My science experiment is that you would not go to class, nor would you. Everyone would know you were drunk in class. You wouldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be a soppy mess unless you're drinking all the time. You know, if you're drinking mm-hmm. all the time, six beers is no big deal. In my day, six beers wouldn't even touch me. Now you got two.
Well, yeah, I'm going to do like a little
part. No, go, quick, like, quick, quick, because you've got. Okay, not yet.
The HR guys.
Drink
here.
The other one.
That's not a good decision.
Okay, now you've caught up.
God.
Get one more in you.
What do you mean one more?
One more? That was for the last one.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
I'm the one drinking
Marissa.
Here, and you can't keep
Marissa.
Track. I've done them every single time. I am
no,
right on
that
schedule.
Was, you had,
I am right on schedule. We've got it on
really?
Tape. Marissa's watching. Don't try to scam me into getting extra shots. This is unbelievable. You know, and I will say.
Hurry up.
It's nice to be able to drink in a race at least one day of this Kavanaugh story.
Can I tell you something? As an alcoholic, I'm pissed. Because when that vote comes down today, I want to be hammered. I just want to be hammered. We're going to be carrying the vote live. You don't want to miss that. Stu will be here. Interestingly enough, Bill O'Reilly will also be with us.
Oh. At least in the commercials, they don't have to hear that noise.
Yes, they do. All the way through. For most,
wait, you're keeping it up during the commercial.
Yes, I am. For most Americans, their home is their biggest investment that they will ever make. It's going to be most likely your biggest investment. That's why we built realestateagentsitrust.com, because working with the right agent will make a significant difference in the outcome of buying or selling. We have about 1,500 agents all over America who are just like you. Their word is their bond. They're fans of the show. They share your sensibilities, and they're going to get you the best deal if you're buying, and they're going to get the best deal if you're selling. Our agents are fully vetted, handpicked for their knowledge, their skill, and their track record. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. How you feeling, Stu?
I'm feeling fine right now. It's still
right,
early
good,
in the hour.
Good. Well, it's got a long time to go before the next drink. Go to realestateagentsitrust.
Oh, jeez, I didn't pour yet.
Realestateagentsitrust.com. That's realestateagentsitrust.com. Stu is, what are you about? A beer and a half in. We're
almost done with the second one, actually.
Oh, you are.
And again, it's 20 after the hour.
Yeah, so Stu is we're just doing a little science experiment. Barack Obama, he said he used to go to class, he'd drink a six-pack of beer. And the Democrats never had a problem with Barack Obama. I mean, he talks about everything the Democrats say should disqualify Brett Kavanaugh. Well, he's one of nine. The president's one of one.
I found it so interesting, this standard here, because we started with, like, innocent until proven guilty. Then it was like, do we think he probably did it? Then it was, is there any possibility that he did it? Now, then we lowered it to, well, did he drink so much that he may have forgotten himself that he did it? And then it's like, well, I think he lied about the drinking. And the word boof.
Yeah.
Like, that is legitimately
where we are
now.
I don't even think it's that now.
Now
he's just been so tainted, and when we pushed him up against the wall and accused him of being a gang rapist, he got mad. Yeah, you wouldn't?
Amazing. Did you read the op-ed? I know we're going to go over it later today. I mean, he's like, well, of course I was. I mean, this is infuriating.
It's science, man. Please, it's science. That is a scientific bell.
I do not want another shot of Bud Light right now. Why am I having to do this? What?
Drink. Oh, man. The things that I, as a doctor, have to endure.
I just cannot believe you're making me do this.
I'm not making you do this.
Yes, you suggested it on the air.
So a suggestion is making.
Okay, I'll stop. Cool, we're good.
I'm making you do it. Now I'm making you do it.
I thought so. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting.
I should have recorded your consent before you started.
That's what every porn director says, and you're way too far down that road, as I'm sure many people have found out. I think it's one of those things where you have a...
Wait a minute. Because of the world we're living in, mm-hmm. I do want you to record your consent right now that I'm not making you do it.
Oh, you
drink.
Do?
Drink.
Oh, I don't...
Drink.
I don't.
Drink it now and then record your consent.
You know, I will say this to the camera. I feel forced into doing this, and I don't want to.
Please don't make me laugh. I think I have tuberculosis.
Okay, there's another beer down.
Okay.
Right, two. This is unbelievable. I can't... This is what my career has come to. I'm just... I mean, I'm...
That's weird, because this is how my career started.
You've had some success, too. Maybe I picked this
up
as a daily.
You know, can I tell you something? The show would be much better if I was drunk.
I did have
it
an idea.
It really would be.
I would be
off the air in 20 minutes. I think it would take me 20 minutes.
Yeah. In this environment?
In this environment, it'd take me 20
minutes. I've heard some of those old shows. Yes, you would.
Yeah, I'd be off in 20 minutes.
I had this idea for a while ago. I think in the middle of doing this, maybe there's something we bring back. A show called The Political Power Hour. And you just get around. It's like News and Why It Matters, a panel. And we just all do a power hour and we just talk politics.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I love
By
that.
By the end of it, it's a
I
disaster.
Can be the host of that. I'll be the host of that because I'll be sober. I'm the driver.
This is a great idea.
I'm the driver.
See, this is why alcohol
we are
is
doing
good. We've got
once
good
a month
ideas.
A power hour.
Yes, I love
yes,
this.
Yes, we are. We'll get everybody from the Blaze. You know, the drinks. This is bad. You're setting a bad example, Mr. Beck. And
but I
say,
mean, imagine the commentary.
It's science.
Like, exactly.
It's science.
Science is important. You know, I mean, they always say Republicans are against science. Well, I'm drinking on the air. How about that? I'm so dedicated to science. I'm slamming down six beers in an hour today.
That's right.
And I, you know, we're getting to that point. Now, I'm not a heavy drinker. I do not drink often. But when I do drink, I like to have a few.
Yeah, but I don't ever even recall hearing stories of you ever being falling down drunk.
Wait till I get nominated for the Supreme Court.
Know,
you're going to hear a lot of them.
I was going to say, except your college years.
By the way,
when
Eagle,
you were running the gang
Eagles shot glass.
Yeah, I got it.
Super Bowl champions.
So, you know, there were 300 arrested yesterday in the Capitol. 300 people.
We've got to play this interaction between Orrin Hatch and some protester.
Let's play it right now, please.
I don't know if we have it. Do we have it? We were talking about this morning. I was going to pull it for News and Why It Matters, which, by the way, I have to do after the show, which is going to be a complete disaster.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Because without any of the fun of actually drinking, I'm just going to be stammering through some stupid analysis.
I'm anxious to hear your commentary with Bill O'Reilly. And your comments during and after the Kavanaugh vote.
I will say, if I could get drunk for every Bill O'Reilly interview, I'm in on that deal. I am in.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. I'm going to be coughing up blood. Oh, man. I swear to you, I'm going to pop a blood vessel in my head. Every time I cough, my head hurts so bad.
Not pleasant.
Okay.
I do not recommend this, by the way.
Well, before the commercial break, I believe you have to take two more shots. So
no,
it's no
I'm
big
on
deal.
Schedule, Marissa.
I know. For me, I'm just you. Saying before the commercial break.
Okay.
So the Kavanaugh thing, is it going to go?
I don't know. I think right now, gun to my head, I think the answer is he is going to get confirmed.
I think so, too.
Though, I mean, Hyde Camp is out. So you have only Manchin, Murkowski, Collins, and Flake. And Flake, Collins seems to be the most positive, oddly, of the bunch at this point. Flake made some positive comments, but as he does 9 seconds later,
oh, if somebody stops him and says, he might change.
Yeah, exactly. Could.
Go ahead.
There's so many.
Go ahead.
So much beer in such a little time.
I know. Drink.
I'm working on it. No, I have the whole minute. The whole minute. Ugh. It's just not good. I mean, it's not something you want to do with yourself. Power hours are designed for college students, not for adults who are on national radio.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Now that I read all of the definitions of boofing, where boofing mm-hmm. is... You know, apparently, you know, a funnel to your butt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As an alcoholic, That's technically not drinking.
Are you drunk? That's
Do you think that's a loophole or?
Look, it's up to them to close the loophole, not
right.
you. It's
not me.
It's not your job to make the laws. It's their job.
How screwed up do you have to be to think, I got to pour a bunch of beer in my butt?
Mercury.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Some of my behavior was self-destructive.
Yes, it was.
You know, uh-oh.
I like to drink a six-pack in an hour before going back to class.
He sounds high in this interview.
He does. You know, if you watch it, he seems like he... Oh.
So we're doing a science experiment. Would Stu be qualified to be on the Supreme Court? Or president of the United States. Swallow. Don't shoot it through your nose. It won't count. You'll have to drink another one.
No.
Will he be qualified? He is now about 3.5 beers in an hour. He has to drink 6 beers just like Barack Obama did.
Mm-hmm. And I had a point I was going to go to, and I do not remember.
Do not remember it.
I will say this. Mm-hmm. So I've recently discovered that our own...
show's about to get good, guys.
No, our own Keith Malinak, mm-hmm. Who a producer of this program for many mm-hmm. years, and yeah. now a producer of the Pat Gray Unleashed program
yes.
on the Blaze Radio Network
uh-huh.
and television networks,
uh-huh.
Is currently mirroring...
Mm.
Which was a hard word to say in this state.
Yeah.
Mirroring my drinking in the other room off the air. Like that's not a air bit. He's just drinking at work.
Yeah.
That's a different thing.
Yeah. Keith. HR. By the way, I'm not paying you for today's work because
this is the most effort I put into a show in many years. Oh, this, I mean, these are hard. It's not even the beer at this point. It's just there's so much carbonation.
By the way,
I'm overloaded by carbonation. My whole body is carbonated.
By the way, we are less than an hour away from the Kavanaugh vote.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm drunk for this.
Oh, man, I would give my right arm for a bottle of Jack.
Let me talk you into drinking. Look, it's been a long time. You were sober for a long time. Those days, you know, you remember them. A lot of times
right?
you do this. You talk to Malcolm Gladwell yesterday, mm-hmm. and he talked to you about how you always remember the past well. Was it really that bad for you when you were drinking? Maybe you should just try a little. I've got extras.
Now, I just want you to know that your career is directly tied to mine.
Oh, I think you'd be really fun on the air. I don't think it would affect your life negatively. I don't think it would affect the show.
Oh, no, it'd make the show really entertaining.
For about 6 months until you were dead.
In this atmosphere, it would be one good show. Yeah, I tell you what, the day I retire is the day I do it drunk. How's that?
That's actually...
Because I'll be close to death, and, when you're close to death, it's like, give me the fentanyl patch, just let me go out.
Well, now you obviously will be immediately divorced after that, which is something you should probably consider. But I'm for
you
it.
Think
I don't
last
care
that
about
long.
Your
you
life.
Think my right? wife, you think my wife lasts that long? This, I really start to shake apart. You think my wife is like sticking around?
I gotta say, I love Tanya. I cannot believe she's still around. I mean, I've known her for a long time. I can't believe she's still in town.
Is this you or is this the
again,
alcohol?
This is something that she could have taken a plane. She could have taken a jet at any time with half of the money. You go to St. Bart's, you go to St. Kitts, you just disappear. I don't know.
Okay,
I mean, she's got all the accounts.
She did tell me. That was one of the conditions. She said, you take one drink and I walk. I take the kids, I take the money, I walk. And I believe her.
Oh, I believe her too. I think she'll walk whether you have a drink or not, honestly.
But you know what? She really, in many ways, I mean, the whole, I used to love cigars. Going, hanging out with Ben the other day, and they were all smoking cigars. Oh, I'd love to have a good cigar. And the last time I smoked one, I was smoking, and Tanya looked at me. It was first started dating, and she said, I just can't imagine myself smoking. I can't imagine myself kissing somebody who had smoked a cigar. And I looked at that cigar, and then I looked at her, and I looked at the cigar, and looked at her, and I kissed the cigar and said, goodbye, my love. And that was it.
And the Cuban economy failed for the final time.
Drink.
I mean...
How are you feeling? Go ahead, drink. I mean, not physically. How are you feeling mentally? Drink and answer the question. I'm a doctor. Just so you know, this is all being done under scientific. I mean, I even have the coat. Although I am a little upset that I don't have Dr. Beck embroidered right here. I need to have that.
You should get that.
I am a doctor.
You are a doctor.
Thank you.
Ugh. I
by the way, universities, I only have one doctorate. I am looking for a second.
We should pile them on for you. I feel like we should get it.
I'll take it from any. I'll take it from a college in Mexico. I don't care.
I mean, you can get papers published anywhere, apparently.
Yeah.
You should start doing that.
Yeah.
You should start submitting like chapters of Mein Kampf for scientific
can
studies.
Can you believe that?
That actually happened.
I know. If you don't know, and hopefully we're going to have these guys on, well, I don't know when, but we're reaching out.
I think earlier mid next week, we're working on the details on that.
So these guys, they're scientists. He's starting to get mad. His temperament, I just want you to know, he's beginning to show temperament unbecoming of a Supreme Court justice.
I could totally rule on something right now.
Yeah.
I think Kavanaugh should get a beer sponsorship, and he should sit up there pounding them during oral arguments, and then...
Don't say oral and Brett Kavanaugh at the same time.
So did someone have a Me Too moment? Oh my God, that's four down. We're four beers in.
Can I ask you something? Are you man enough?
I can answer no. I can just cut you off now. No.
Right. Are you man enough to go through what Brett Kavanaugh went through and then sit on the Supreme Court and the Democrats are controlling the House and they're wanting to have Donald Trump be subpoenaed to, you know, testify over something completely ridiculous that you know is all trumped up. Are you man enough to drink? Are you man enough to, after what you, if you were Brett Kavanaugh, after what they did, to go, I'm going to look at this, you know, seriously.
I should not be on the Supreme Court, largely because I would rule completely out of spite at this point. We talked about this before. We were not fans of Kavanaugh as a nominee.
Marissa, you need to start. Pouring this stuff for him because he's.
We were not fans of Kavanaugh. I will point this out, and I pointed this out to Trump supporters. One of the main reasons Trump got elected was his list of 21 Supreme Court nominees. We all agree on that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, go back and find it. Go back to 2016. Search for it. The 21 nominees for the Supreme Court that Donald Trump named in 2016. Search that list for Brett Kavanaugh's name.
It's not there.
You're not going to find it on there because it was added after he got elected. Now, look, if...
But so was Mike Lee.
No, Mike Lee was on the first list.
Oh, was he on the first list?
He was on the first list. Yeah, the point being that he got elected because he said, I'm going to pick from this list. Now, if he had gone through 20 Supreme Court or 21 Supreme Court justices, I could say, okay, name some new people. Why he needed to expand that list, and Amy Coney Barrett was on the expansion as well. Why you need to expand that list after you get elected, I don't know. But they decided to do that, and that's where Kavanaugh is. And I know I had a point I was going to, but I do not remember it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm even interested in it.
I don't care if you're interested or not. I'm just trying to get through this hour. I'm trying to distract myself from that stupid sound that I know is coming around the corner at any time.
Okay, let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. Oh, by the way, Bill O'Reilly's coming up. We have the vote in the Senate in less than an hour. Also, we have John Crist. John is a comedian that is actually taking the country by storm. Yeah, taking the country by storm. Drink. He's on national tour now. A lot of people don't know who he is. It is the internet sensation. He's got like half a billion views of his comedy. He's going to be on with us in the third hour. You don't want to miss that. And I'm going to try to convince Stu to keep drinking until the vote happens.
I mean, once the vote happens, I may pick it back up.
FilterBuy is our sponsor this half hour. You want to talk about filters, Stu?
Oh, God. That's all I want to do right now is talk about air conditioning filters.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that? Because I'm a huge fan of
air conditioning
filters.
You know what it works a lot like?
What's that?
Your liver. So if
it's not my favorite point.
So in other words, if you put a bunch of crap in the system, your liver, you know, kind of filters all of that out.
Right.
But at some point, if you just keep putting crap in it, you have to change the filter. You see what I'm saying, Stu? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Keep up where you're like you're going, and you're going to need a liver transplant. That you can't get at liverby.com.
I really want to register that website. Is liverby.com a thing? I would totally subscribe to that.
You would what?
I would totally subscribe to that.
Thank you.
It's hard to get through that word.
Filter.
It's two syllables, though. Give me a break.
Wow, two. Filter by, try your last name. Filterby.com, America's leading provider for HVAC filters for businesses and for homes. And for if you just to ask them, just deliver it as I'm supposed to get them every, I don't know, 6 months, 3 months, eight really? Months. I have no idea.
You're doing a really good job with this. And you've had no alcohol.
That's right. You can go to filterby.com. Drink. Filterby.
God, this is horrible. This is a horrible day.
He did this intentionally and then went to school. He did this.
Ugh, it's hard. I mean,
would it be easier if he just chugged all six?
Mm-mm. Jeffy came up to me yesterday. He's like, oh, I could do that.
one beer every 10 minutes. No big deal.
I mean, one beer in 10 minutes is not a big deal. Six beers in 60 minutes feels like a big deal.
Pardon my TB. Filterby.com. Go there now. Filterby.com. Stu is now on to his sixth beer. This is a experiment. This is science. Don't worry. I am monitoring him, and I am a doctor of humanities.
I'm on to my dessert beer, by the way. Community Brewery here in Texas. Mm-hmm. They've got a snickerdoodle ale that they bring out. Mm-hmm. I had one left. Brought it in today. It tastes like a snickerdoodle.
It tastes like what?
A snickerdoodle. That's a hard word to say for
any
person.
Oh, it is. I know it is.
Snickerdoodle cookie.
Many people.
God, delicious.
They'll be trying to say, I'll just have a snickerdoodle. It happens all the time.
But here's the thing. Let me make a serious point here, Glenn, before we end the hour. Bill O'Reilly coming up. Vote coming up after that.
Stations, we are carrying the vote live.
Yeah. So,
hang on. Serious point coming up. Mm-hmm.
You stopped drinking at the wrong time.
I know I did.
They have incredible, these microbrews that are out now. Mm-hmm. This beer is I mean, it tastes like a cookie. Snickerdoodle Ale by Community Brewery.
Maybe it is a cookie.
Maybe it is. And here's the point.
Let me smell it.
You can smell it if you want to smell it, but don't drink it because
I won't drink
it. I don't want to be responsible.
You're not.
My point,
you know,
though,
it
here is.
It kills me. People think, can I drink around you? Uh-huh. Yes, you can drink around me.
So the small government.
Smells like beer to me.
The small government aspect of this, which is important,
yeah,
is the reason why you have all these great beers now and all these great microbrews is because forever the U.S. government restricted breweries from opening up. You couldn't homebrew. You couldn't do all these things. The government was in everybody's face. We obviously know about the amendment, the prohibition situation. Mm-hmm. But this was they really did restrict this for a long time, and they kept innovation out of this. And now you can go all up.
Thank God, because I was so bored with that conversation. By the way, we have... can we get the blood pressure stuff in here, Stephen?
The what?
What I'd like to do an experiment during the vote. I want to take my blood pressure, because I just saw Dianne Feinstein, she's now speaking on the floor of the Senate, and as you were talking about whatever you were talking about, my blood pressure just went through the roof, and I want to, during the vote, I want to check my blood pressure against your blood pressure, because I bet your blood pressure is going to be totally fine.
Are you advocating for alcohol?
I am. If we have to live with these politicians, I think we might, and I'm a doctor, I'm only saying this from a position of science, I think we should all be drunk.
It feels like drunk is better. I as a person who's experienced both,
right,
in the middle of a news cycle,
mm-hmm,
this feels better.
Okay, so I'd like to... You're almost
not
done.
Not more.
You're almost done. You've only got like four more. And there's nothing better than drinking a whole six-pack and then polishing off cookies.
It's torture. It's too much. You don't need this much alcohol. Man, they put it in cans for individual servings for a reason.
Right.
You know, you just have one or two. It's great.
No, that's why they increase. I really, you know, this is an honest statement. I do not understand people who say, I just enjoy a drink or two. Why? Would you drink that stuff?
Yeah.
If it had no alcohol content in it? No. Maybe beer. Maybe beer.
Yeah, there's some beers that are good. And
beer and wine, maybe.
There's some like, you know, a Moscow Mule is pretty delicious.
I don't know what that is.
It's a ginger beer, vodka, lime. It's a delicious drink that is, there was a trendiness to it at some point.
I've got my second set of kids going into teenage years. I really need some good blackouts soon. I'm going to need some blackouts. I balance, is there a thing as responsible alcoholism to where you're blacking out, but you're only blacking out when you need them?
Since you're forcing me to do this, I want to take a moment to try to convince you to start drinking. Since you're torturing me, let me ruin your life for a moment.
You can't.
Why not?
This is the thing that every alcoholic says just before they break. I'm impervious to it.
I have to finish this beer before the end of the hour. How much time do I have, Sarah?
10 seconds. One minute.
Oh, my God.
Are you done?
No, I have more. Oh, God.
Shoot. Oh, yo. Somebody get a bucket. Would you go to class? Now, this is better than I thought you would be.
Oh, my God. I'm...
This is a really good lesson, kids.
I'm going to turn my microphone off at this point because I don't want to ruin any FCC. Ajit Pai is listening right now. Mm. He's like, listen to this disaster going down. One more, and then I'm done. Oh my God, I got 30 seconds to get one more down. One more down. One more down. 30 seconds. 30 seconds.
Feeling
I can do it. I can do
sick,
it.
Sick? Or are you?
Yeah. I don't feel good. I don't feel good, bud. I do not feel good at all.
Now.
Oh, God, this is torture. Oh, no, Oh, God, I don't want to do one more.
Do you mix a six pack with Bill O'Reilly?
Oh, God.
And then throw on top of it the Senate vote on Kavanaugh?
Oh, my God, that was horrible.
That is going to be hour two of the Glenn Beck program next. Beck.
I did it. Mercury. I got it.
Glenn Beck is coming live to talk about the right path forward and to make fun of the people standing in the way. He might not be able to save the country, but at least we can all go down laughing. Glenn Beck Live, the Addicted to Outrage Tour. On tour this fall.
Glenn Beck.
You believe in coincidence? I want you to consider that this weekend is the one-year anniversary, October 5th, 1 year ago. The Me Too movement was organized. New York Times ran their bombshell story on Harvey Weinstein, and it has been 12 straight months of Me Too madness. Now, this is incredible. If I would have said Me Too, I would have thought this has been 2 years. It's been 12 months. It's been good, and it's been bad. It's turned into an absolute nightmare, I think. We can all stand in solidarity. All of us stand with people who have accused people and have proven the case that this person is guilty. We all stand by it. The witch hunt, not so much. We can stand against violence against women, violence against men, and violence against children. There's without a doubt every American is for that. But overall, the Me Too movement in 12 months has become an out-of-control monster. In the span of 365 days, 429 people have been accused in a total of more than 1,700 allegations. Keep in mind, these are the high-profile cases spanning Hollywood, government, and big business. You add in the lesser-known cases that we know of, and the accused doubles. Numbers are pretty easy to find, but guess which numbers aren't? The amount of convictions. Good luck finding those. Maybe we should take Kavanaugh and just throw him in the water and see if he floats. Of course, if he floats, he's a rapist. If he doesn't, he's innocent. What's the number of convictions? It seems kind of relevant. You would think the Me Too movement and the rest of the media would be eager to post those numbers, but they don't. Me Too has devolved from the post-Weinstein fallout as a movement that counts accusations as facts. They rush to collect heads. This is the French Revolution. Evidence doesn't matter. Corroboration doesn't matter. It is the accusation that is all important. That is what this movement has become. You can call it a witch hunt, or you can call it the McCarthy hearings. But believe me, there is no difference. When we get 10 years, 20 years down the road, that is exactly what this movement will look like. Divine providence reveals itself in mysterious ways. I don't care whether you believe it's a coincidence or not. The anniversary of the Me Too movement, we're given the biggest example on the largest stage the country has seen perhaps in decades. To see how far the Me Too movement has fallen, how dangerous this has become, this is mob rule. The Senate voting on Brett Kavanaugh 12 months to the day when all of this began. Over the past year, we have never seen any of these Me Too cases played out in a courtroom. But now we've seen one. And we see the mob salivating for Kavanaugh's head, even though there is no evidence and no corroboration. And everyone said the accuser could back up her story. All of the accusers flatly denied it ever happened. Or at least said, I have no knowledge of it. The only thing that existed was the accusation. And that right there is the story of the past 365 days. I don't know what happened to Professor Ford. I have no idea. I don't know if there was an actual witchcraft that was being practiced in the woods. But I, for one, am not willing to declare someone a witch or a warlock without hard evidence. I feel bad for Professor Ford. I also think I wouldn't want to be around her in the afterlife if she was lying. We do know that at least one of the accusers was lying. We want to believe people because we want to believe that there's no way anyone would do this for politics. That's the goodness in America. Don't lose sight of that goodness. Don't lose sight of the fairness that each American has. That is why what is happening in Washington, D.C. is going to bode very, very poorly for those who are involved in this smear campaign. Because Americans are fair. And what they've done to the Kavanaugh family, this very public process, has given us a glimpse into what it looks like when the rule of law is replaced by mob rule. This process has been ugly, painful, and hopefully it has taught us a big lesson. The presumption of innocence is one of our founding principles. It is why we came here in the first place. And if we abandon that principle, what happened to Judge Kavanaugh will be the standard for all of us and our children.
It's Friday, October 5th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I guess maybe I should have taken off my Dr. Beck white jacket for that monologue. But Stu, I still have Stu in my care after doing a power hour with Stu to be able to see, is he capable of being president or Supreme Court nominee in the future after drinking six beers, as Barack Obama said he used to before he went to college. Now, Bill O'Reilly is here. Hello, Bill.
Beck, how you doing today?
I'm good. I don't know. How do you think this Kavanaugh thing's going to come down?
I think it'll be confirmed tomorrow afternoon. I guess I'd say 60-40 at this time. But I think he's going to be very hard at this last gap for any Republican to vote against him, because there's new information. And I don't know whether you guys know the new information, because the media is not reporting it, including Fox News. According to Wall Street Journal, Dr. Ford's people, that includes her lawyers and her advisors, tried to get a woman named Leland Keyser to change her testimony. That is in the FBI report, apparently. Now, Leland Keyser was the best friend to Christine Ford when this incident about Kavanaugh allegedly took place, and was named by Ford as an eyewitness. Keyser all along has said, I don't remember anything like this. I don't even know Judge Kavanaugh. Well, now the Journal is reporting that Ford's people, and they name a woman, Monica McClain, texted Keyser and said, hey, you got to change your testimony. You got to help Christine. That's a huge story.
Well, there's
enormous story.
There is also another story that in the FBI testimony, that it shows the leak came from Chuck Schumer, that it was Chuck Schumer's office in cahoots with one of the beach ladies that Ford talked about.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's any doubt about Chuck Schumer or Dianne Feinstein at this point that they are corrupt.
So, Bill, should there...
One more thing. This Monica McClain, by the way, this was the woman who Ford's ex-boyfriend told the Senate Judiciary Committee that Ford tried to help her get through a lie detector test.
Yep.
Because she was applying for a job at the FBI. This now bolsters the ex-boyfriend's account. Now, this may seem in the weeds, but if the Judiciary Committee, and I believe Grassley may do this.
I hope so.
He could haul Monica McClain and others in Ford's camp in front of the committee. And he could bring back Ford and say, you lied to us about the lie detector test. If that happens, Ford could be prosecuted. Now, so, I don't think it will.
I think it should. It should.
I think it should, too.
Here's the thing.
Anybody, Kavanaugh lied or Ford lied, anybody, they should be held to account.
Yeah, here's the thing. I don't care if it is Mark Judge or if it is Professor Ford.
Right.
If you lied, you should go to jail.
Right.
This is too serious. This tore the country apart. And
absolutely.
For what? If this was coordinated, and I mean Chuck Schumer as well, if Chuck Schumer leaked this, he should also stand some sort of penalty. But anybody who was involved, you know, there was one guy who, what was it, Stu? He came out and he said, oh, I know, I have this evidence, I saw this happening. And as soon as he... I'm sorry to ask Stu, he's been drinking this morning, Bill. You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, it's bad.
They have him arrested.
Yeah.
Bill, I like to be drunk for all of your interviews, if that's okay.
That's right, Stu. I mean, it's a better state for you because you can't understand them sober.
That's true. That's fair.
So there's one guy who came out and leveled accusations and then immediately retracted them and admitted that he was lying.
Everyone likes to focus on Ford, but there's been five accusers.
Yeah, yeah. This is the Newport Harbor guy.
Yes.
But look, when you get into a situation, and this goes right back to the Me Too thing you were talking about. Did you see Alyssa Milano this week say, it doesn't matter if individual men get crushed. It doesn't matter because women have been abused for so many years, and I have no sympathy for men, innocent men, who get crushed. I mean, once you're into that zone, and we've discussed this before, you're into Stalinism.
You are.
No, we don't care.
Yeah.
You know, if some guy didn't do something like Kavanaugh or whoever it may be, and you get it, and your career and family and everything else is destroyed, you know, that's the price you got to pay because of the past injustices against women.
But that is the mixture, Bill. That's the combination of postmodernism and social justice. Social justice now is the vehicle for postmodernism. And the idea is, it doesn't matter if she was telling the truth because others have been in her situation.
That's right.
It doesn't matter if he did it because others have been in his situation. What matters is communal justice. That's
evil.
The other
key to this that other people aren't talking about and the media will never report on is that the same people that organized a sponsored boycott against me when I was on Fox News are now paying people to go to the Capitol to scream and yell at senators about Kavanaugh. The same outfits are doing it. Move On leads the league. All right, they've got the mailing list. They've got all the information. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sitting there going, deja vu? Yeah. Same people. So now, in addition to insanity like Alyssa Milano, individual insanity, then you have an organized, coordinated effort with tens of millions of dollars, courtesy of George Soros and others, okay, who are organizing, sending people, paying people, to go in and disrupt, sometimes physically, the process. And Americans are basically in the dark. They don't know what's happening, Beck, because it's not reported.
Well, I will tell you, I listen to that stupid New York Times podcast. I listen to it every day just to hear what, you know, what spin they're putting on it. It made my eyes bleed today. I couldn't take the hypocrisy. But one of the things they were talking about is, you know, I'm really concerned because things in the Capitol are becoming very scary. They're very scary for reporters and for, you know, for these senators, and things are getting out of control.
Yeah.
Gee, do you
I
think so?
Wonder who's doing that.
Yeah. Sir,
did you know?
It's not the right.
New York Times.
Go ahead.
No. I love the banjo.
It's not a banjo, but. It's not a
even
banjo,
remotely
but...
close to a banjo. Have you ever heard instruments before, Bill?
Stu, you better watch it, man. I know where you live.
All right, we're about 10 minutes from the beginning of the key Senate vote with Kavanaugh. Bill will be with us. We're going to continue our conversation here in a second. First, let me tell you about Car Shield. Taking your car in for an oil change, mechanic finds something wrong. Surprise, you're hit with a big repair bill. That has happened to all of us, and it hadn't happened to you yet. Where have you been? Because it's going to. If you are not covered, if your warranty has run out, you need Car Shield. You need extended vehicle protection. Don't worry about those surprises. If your car breaks down after the warranty expires, you could be out of pocket for thousands of dollars. But you don't have to worry about it if you have Car Shield. I have Car Shield. You have a car 5,000, you know, 150,000 miles. It doesn't matter. Get it covered. Get it covered with Car Shield. 800-CAR-6100. That's 800-CAR-6100. Use the promo code back and you're going to save 10% at carshield.com or call them right now before you have to bring that thing in and have it repaired. 1-800-CAR-6100. Promo code back at carshield.com. Deductibles apply. What's your blood pressure?
Glenn Beck.
My blood pressure, this is not good. My blood pressure, we're checking it against, it's science, to see if it's better to drink at moments like this. Stu has already had a six-pack, and as the Kavanaugh hearing is going on, and Bill O'Reilly is here, my blood pressure is 145/98, and my pulse is 120.
145/98, that feels like really...
It's not good.
That doesn't seem healthy.
That doesn't seem... Well, look at me.
Well, I wanted to try to get through killing the SS, I wanted to get drunk first.
Yeah.
You know, that's how this works. I mean,
wow.
It's a big book coming out. When does it come out, Bill? Is it Tuesday?
Tuesday.
It's really good.
The SS.
Really good.
The worst war criminals in history. Tuesday advance. Book's already sold 75,000 in advance sales.
Wow!
So
and you only have 71,000 in the trunk of your car, which is nice.
Yeah, I know. and you know the gas is going up. It's really good.
Yeah, I know. It's actually a really good book, Bill. Really
Thank
good
you.
Book.
4 minutes.
4 minutes to the vote. Senator Collins has just voted yes on the advancement. She said she'll announce her final decision at 3 p.m.
Is she delaying this again? I mean, because everyone thinks this vote is going to be consistent with the vote that would happen this weekend. Are we really thinking that she's going to change this now?
No. She'll vote for it. The Republicans will vote for Kavanaugh, because if they don't, they're out of the Republican Party.
Well, so Flake.
That's it.
Flake.
Yeah, he's already out of it. Yeah, he's leaving, right?
Yeah, he's leaving.
Wait, so. That's true, but I don't think Flake wants to go out on that note. Remember, Flake wants to get a job as a lobbyist. He wants to go around and give speeches, maybe write a book. If he's got the machine against him, that's going to hurt him in retirement as far as earnings are concerned.
Yeah,
so that's where he is.
Bill, I want to ask you, honestly, Daines is from Montana is leaving to go to his daughter's wedding. And I was this is a really important vote. And who knows what happens in 12 hours even if something goes wrong. But I thought of my daughter, and I was like, you know what? I would totally leave.
Oh, I would leave.
To my daughter's wedding.
I'd leave. My daughter's wedding.
Is that the right choice?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why they can't work out something on that. There are ways to vote. But if your daughter's getting married, your daughter's getting married. Maybe they could move the ceremony later, and they could. But I don't know. I don't know. But you're right. You gotta family first.
And there's no reason why these guys have to be there. Why are we using 1700s technology for these votes?
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason. He could be on a phone.
Right, right. And they could make an exception, I think. But you're right. Okay, what else?
All right. Well, geez, Bill.
Geez, I mean.
No,
sorry about that.
I thought we were
going to go on SS if you want me to give you some.
No.
We got 2 minutes before the vote. Give us 2 minutes on killing the SS.
All right, look. The book is about evil. And my contention is that most Americans don't understand evil. My mother didn't. She lived a very...
she raised you.
Life. Yeah, she spawned me, which is obviously... But she loved me and thought I was good. So
she didn't understand
evil. Right.
Right.
So we're seeing so much evil in America, are we not? People walking into schools and gunning down kids, clerics, abusing children... Chicago, where thousands of people are shot by drug gangs and nothing's done. Opioid epidemic through the roof. This is all evil. It's centered on evil. And so I wrote SS with an eye on explaining to the reader that these concentration camp guards and the people who killed babies and gassed innocent people were farmers and merchants and bankers. They weren't anything trained to do this. They weren't assassins. They were regular people, and once the war started, they put on their black uniform with the death's head insignia and went in and did the most horrible things that history's ever seen.
Okay. The book is better than his explanation. It's Killing the SS comes out Tuesday. All right. We have Bill O'Reilly. We have Mitch McConnell still yakking. Can we keep him in the background just a little bit? He's so... Just take the vote, Mitch.
Take the vote, yeah. I mean, geez, this has been a long freaking run here.
I mean, who wants to delay this vote? Apparently it's Mitch McConnell now.
Oh, just vote, I agree. But this is the first time I've ever seen McConnell have a pulse. I mean, this is about as crazed as Mitch McConnell gets.
Orrin Hatch is behind him sleeping. I'm not kidding.
He is, I see him.
Yeah, he's sleeping.
No, but he's not. He's doing his mantra. He just looked up.
I mean, he could theoretically.
Orrin Hatch.
There he
is.
He might have been praying.
No,
for an end.
Mantra is, I want to go home.
Yes. Please. Please.
Orrin Hatch had a really funny confrontation with a protester in the elevator. And did you see that, Bill?
I saw it.
Yeah, I mean, and like, and it was interesting to see how the protesters did not care what he said. They were looking for an opportunity to yell at him. It had nothing to do with the content of what he said.
Well, the more you yell and the louder you are, the more you get paid. There's a scale of yelling. And if you reach a crescendo, you get more money from Move On.
Hey, let me ask you this.
And Move On, by the way, created to move on from sexual assault allegations. Remember that. That was Bill Clinton. Move on from the Monica Lewinsky thing. Move on. Yeah, it's amazing that's still around at this point in the Me Too movement, right, Bill?
Well, what about Katz, the main lawyer for Christine Ford? She exonerated Al Franken. Oh, Shut up. Come on. He's a comedian. No.
All right.
So look, everybody, anybody, and honoring American honest justice, knows what this is and knows what's going on.
Bill, do you think this will play out this way at the voting booth? Do you think there are...
Do you think there are Democrats?
Not, I'm not talking political players. I'm talking about regular Democrats who are seeing this now and going, you know, I was for, you know, Ford and I wanted a fair thing, but this is ridiculous.
You're asking for people to basically change their opinions. That's very rare. All scientific studies on politics show that people loathe to change their opinion. They don't like to admit they were wrong.
I don't understand that.
All right? It's just human nature. But what this is going to do is give the Republicans a real strong point, 1-2 punch with the economy. So you got the economy, and then you have this. Corruption on the other side. That's how I would frame it.
All right, hang on. We're getting ready to take the vote. Let's just listen just in for just a second.
Sure.
The question is it the sense of the Senate that debate on the nomination of Brett M. Kavanaugh of Maryland to be an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court shall be brought to a close? The yeas and nays are mandatory under the rule. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Alexander.
Oh, my God, this happened.
Ms. Baldwin. No. Mr. Barrasso. Aye. Mr. Bennett.
No. 2-2.
Mr. Blumenthal. Mr. Blunt. Mr. Booker. Mr. Bozeman.
Notice they didn't say it so we can hear
it. Mr. Brown.
Yeah.
Mr. Burr. Ms. Cantwell.
It's a big moment in American history.
This is a pivot point.
Mr. Cardin.
What does this mean, Bill, for history?
Mr. Casey.
Either direction.
Mr. Cassidy.
I don't know yet. I mean, I can't speculate on that. I can just, I know, I'm pretty good at evaluating the mood of the country. You may remember that 5 days before the election of 2016, I predicted Trump would win, and I predicted because people didn't like Hillary Clinton and would stay home. I mean, that was my best that I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I am feeling it everywhere I go. I know a lot of people, and I'm around, okay, that the regular folks know this was a sham. And they know that Kavanaugh and his family were damaged very badly by people who didn't care to seek the truth. They know that. That, I think, will play out in our politics. But you got to remember, there's a powerful, powerful, corrupt lobby that is driving the Me Too thing and the media.
Hang on.
Is
Flake.
Mr. Gardner.
What was Flake?
This is Gillibrand.
We'll give you that in a second. Sorry,
Mr.
go ahead.
Mr. Graham. Mr. Grassley.
Aye.
Ms. Harris.
Yeah, Flake was an aye, I believe.
Okay.
I thought so, too.
Ms. Hassan.
You have to understand that the media, in conjunction with the fanatics, the zealots.
Heinrich.
Powerful. Powerful to drive
Ms.
things.
Heitkamp.
So I don't expect
hold on.
Them to stop.
Hold on.
Mr. Heller.
She's a no.
Camp was
a Ms.
Heller,
Hirono.
A yes being is a big one.
Mr. Hoven. Mrs. Hyde-Smith.
Yeah. Murkowski coming
Mr.
up.
Mr. Inhofe. Mr. Isaacson. Mr. Johnson. Mr. Jones. Mr. Kane. Mr. Kennedy.
Aye.
Mr. King.
Kowski's a big one.
Ms. Klobuchar. Mr. Kyle.
Aye.
Mr. Lankford.
Aye.
Mr. Leahy. Mr. Lee. Mr. Manchin. Mr. Markey. Oh,
what did he mention?
Mrs. McCaskill.
Here comes Murkowski.
Mr. McConnell. Mr. Menendez.
Almost there.
Mr. Merkley.
A lot of M's.
Mr. Moran.
Okay, come on.
All right, stop it.
Ms. Murkowski.
Silence, so we don't know.
Mr. Murphy.
We'll know soon.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, we didn't know on Manchin or Murkowski. Those are the two very interesting ones.
And it's strange. I'm watching all of the networks, and none of them are catching the votes. So no one is.
Yeah.
Nor is the New York Times. We're looking at all the sites right now to see what the actual
Nobody
total
knows.
Is. We don't know yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, again, this is not the final
pass,
vote.
You know, they're going to end the closed debate, and then they'll vote tomorrow, and I do believe Kavanaugh will be confirmed. Nobody wants to be on the wrong side of this, and the winds are blowing against the Democrats now. The winds have shifted.
Bill, this is a big deal for the winds shifting, don't you think? I mean, this is the first time I have ever seen this tactic by the Democrats backfire on them.
I don't know. The Clarence Thomas stuff was pretty rough. And I think that African Americans at the time were pretty angry about it. But that, of course, dissipated once he got on the court. The question is, if Kavanaugh is confirmed, will this all go away? Will people just say, okay, the good guys won, and we're not real interested in punishing the Democrats? I don't think so anymore.
I don't think so either.
I just think people are so furious that they're gonna take it out on the Democrats.
I think the Democrats think that they control these activists. They really think that they can, you know, tap them, you know, turn them on and turn them off. No, I know they do, but I think they're approaching a time where they're not going to be able to turn them off.
I don't see it that way. It's very well organized. You're going to get individuals that confront people in restaurants, zealots like that. You're going to have that, and somebody might get hurt. But on the organized front, these people are very disciplined, and there's about a dozen organizations now that where money is flooding in to disrupt the process on the part of the far left.
Stand by some news
that's
here.
A lot. Yep.
Mr. Wicker.
A couple things here. Collins, one of the big
Mr.
ones, a yes. Flake.
Yeah, and Flake's a yes.
And he's a yes. So,
and I'm sure Murkowski was a yes, and Manchin, I don't know. That's an interesting one.
We're in the middle of looking at that right now. And, Bill, do you think that they just overplayed their hand here?
Oh, yeah.
I really feel like they could have had Murkowski. They could have had Collins if they really played this seriously, but instead they overplayed their hand to an incredible degree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they didn't have what they didn't have. Look, I went through this. And all of a sudden, every time I turned around, there was somebody else saying, well, O'Reilly did this. Mm-hmm. That wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So what they thought was that more people were going to come out and point a finger at them, or somebody was going to bolster Ford's party statement, going, oh, yeah, I was at that party, and I saw this.
Capito,
what do they have to lose? Cassidy, they threw it out there. Collins, the press accepted it as fact.
Cornyn.
And made it easier for people to come Freeman, through. And then you had Avenatti and all these other crazy
James,
people piling on. Lindsay, and the left said, look, this is what usually happens.
Flake.
But here, you know, with the FBI involvement and, you know, pretty strong statement by Kavanaugh, Kavanaugh saved himself.
Yeah, he did.
Hoven.
You know, one of the things that I couldn't do
Inhofe,
was save myself Wilson, because they Kennedy, didn't want, they being Fox,
Kyle,
me to address it.
Lincoln,
yes.
Okay. I couldn't save myself. Moran, Kavanaugh did.
Purdue. Mm-hmm.
We
and
have
that,
a.
That's
look,
what turned it.
It does look like Joe Manchin has Brown, voted yes on Kavanaugh. Which
all right,
would,
so that means that Kavanaugh,
yes.
That Manchin's going to vote to confirm
Sullivan,
him.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason Manchin's doing that is because if he voted Toomey, against
Wicker,
Kavanaugh, that he might lose the election.
Now, are
West
the people
Virginia,
of West Virginia that
wow,
stupid?
We do have one no vote from Lisa Murkowski. So Murkowski is out. Manchin is in. Flake is in. Collins is in. This just should be enough for him to get confirmed here.
Yeah, because if it's a tie, Pence breaks it.
Correct.
Now, Murkowski, if Murkowski votes against Kavanaugh, she's through in the Republican Party. She's finished.
Yeah.
She won't get a nickel from any Republican, and I believe that her Senate career will be over. I think the people of Alaska, a very conservative state, will throw her out.
Do you think, Bill, that we have with Murkowski the situation where she knew it was going to go through, wanted to vote no, was able to vote no because she knew they had the 50 votes?
Doesn't matter. Just the no vote going against every single one of her colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
isolates her and puts her in as a pariah. Word of the day, pariah, in the Republican Party.
Okay.
No. That's an amazing situation. I didn't think Murkowski was going to put her entire career at risk over this, but apparently she has.
Well, she could vote yes tomorrow.
How, though? If she's voting not to advance the nomination to the floor,
well, now it's sitting
how
there.
How does she vote yes? I want to confirm it.
Because I didn't think that it should go forward, but now it's gone forward, and so now I'm going to, because a lot of people are calling my office and I'm afraid for my career, I am going to vote yes.
Maybe, but that's a pretty tough line to walk.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to do it.
But. It's an interesting point in that one of the most shocking vote results that I can remember in my entire lifetime was Lisa Murkowski beating Joe Miller on a write-in ballot in that Senate campaign several years ago. Does Alaska reward Murkowski after this with another election? I mean, I don't think so.
They are very independent. They are conservative, but they're very independent, and we'll wait and see. Bill, thank you so much. BillO'Reilly.com.
Have a good weekend.
You got
Thanks,
it.
Bill.
Talk to you next week. All right. Let me tell you about the greatest chair of all time. It is the X chair. The X chair is an office chair I have for my other studio. We had to get another chair for the other studio. Bought the X chair. They have become advertisers in the around the same time, and now we have them in here as well.
It's a big difference.
I was sitting in it yesterday. I was doing the live TV show, and I was sitting in that chair, and I thought, this is the most comfortable chair I think I've ever sat in. For an office chair where you want to be supported and sit up, I mean, you know, I don't know if you've tried the Cloud, which is the worst looking couch ever, because it just looks like a beanbag chair, but it's really, really comfortable, but no support. That's comfortable. This is great if you are sitting in it for work, because you're just sitting up naturally, you're sitting up straight, and it's supportive and comfortable, and it looks great too.
There's a big difference. I mean, we had, you know, decent chairs from whatever, big box store we had them from. And, you know, they're okay. But this is it's impressive. The difference is impressive.
And Stu's on truth serum here. He's got a six-pack in him. So, I mean, what is he going to do?
I mean, after this vote, I think maybe I open up another one.
Okay. All right. Okay. We have John Chris on, which I'm sure he's going to be very comfortable. In here, comedian John Chris joins us in just a little while. Anyway, the X chair is on sale now for $100 off. But if you go to xchair.com, that's the letter X chair, beck.com, or call 844-4XCHAIR. The X chair will come with 30-day guarantee, no questions asked, complete satisfaction. Don't love it, ship it back. They give you all the money back. xchairbeck.com. Use the promo code Beck, and you're going to get a free footrest as well. Get the free footrest. All you have to do, 844-4X-CHAIR. Use the promo code Beck or xchairbeck.com. Welcome to the program. The Senate has voted 51-49 to advance the Kavanaugh nomination. It looks as though tomorrow he will get the nomination and be confirmed. However, there's a couple of wrenches in this, and we will talk about that coming up next hour. Also, we're going to just break for just a second and just have some laughs. There is a guy who a ton of people, about half a billion views on YouTube, John Crist. He happens to be in town, and everybody in this building is trying to snag tickets. And I thought, the best way to get tickets is to put him on the radio and then just say, hey, we didn't get tickets in time. Can we get some extra tickets? But really, we just wanted to promote him and have him in for a few minutes. So he's really, really funny. We'll have John Chris when we come back. And then more on the Senate. Pat Gray joins us. And, of course, more with Stu, who is already a six-pack plus one into his Friday festivities. More on the Glenn Beck Program coming up.
Glenn Beck is coming live to talk about the right path forward and to make fun of the people standing in the way. He might not be able to save the country, but at least we can all go down laughing. Glenn Beck Live, the Addicted to Outrage Tour. On tour this fall.
Glenn Beck.
It's Friday, October 5th.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So John Crist is the is a comedian that you may or may not know. Tons of people know him. He's playing at the Verizon, isn't it?
Verizon Theater.
Yeah, Verizon Theater this weekend. And absolutely everyone in this building has said, so can you get any tickets? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not in the ticket business.
Oh, we'll get you some tickets? Yeah, you want to come down?
You are sold out almost everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Up-and-coming comedian.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily come from a comedian, typical comedian, hard-living background.
I feel like that's a compliment. That's a kind of, I don't know if you know anything about me, but you're like, you seem like you're doing okay.
Yeah, you seem like a normal person. You're supposed to have angst and be angry.
No, like, well, you know, my dad is actually... He was a pastor for 30 years, mm-hmm. and then he became the mayor, and I'm a comedian. And he said this, I thought this was interesting. He said, we're all kind of doing the same thing, me and you. He goes, we look at the world. We don't like what's happening, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Y'all the same. So he first tried to fix it by changing people's hearts mm-hmm. in church, mm-hmm. and then he tried to fix it by changing laws, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I'm doing the same thing. I see it. I'm trying to fix it by, like, changing people's mind. Have you ever heard a well thought out comedy bit? And you're like, oh man, that is so true. Mm-hmm. And it changes the way you think about it. Because comedy, it breaks down the walls of, like, you're like, oh man, that's hilarious.
So then what are you trying to change? What are you trying to... what I would prefer is somebody that's just going to change me from an angry person to give me 90 minutes of not caring about anything.
Yeah,
just
and that's what a lot of people say at our comedy shows. Yeah. It's like, we had a lady that had, she has a cancer, and she came to my show. She's thinking, every minute of my day, I think about this disease in my body. But for that mm-hmm. 2 hours that I was at your show, I felt like I was free.
That's it.
That's all we're trying to do. You know what I'm saying? But it gets harder and harder, I suppose, every day. But you know,
is it hard to not talk about things that are?
Well, the good thing about being a comedian is I don't have to have like a stance. You kind of have to have like a stance. Yeah. Like, they tune in to know what you think about. I just have to make it like somebody's like, "What do you think about?" I was like, "That's not right. I don't have to. I don't have to really." Yeah. Like, I don't know. That's not really. But if it's funny, because a lot of times comedians now, if you look at your explore page on Twitter for comedians, it's like, it's not funny. It's like,
they're going for clapter.
Yeah, or like, I'm not a politician. I'm not like a sociologist. Yeah, I'm here to make people laugh. And if you want to get politics, you can go to
whatever.
You can get that. That's not my job at least on the internet.
Yeah, yeah. Amy Schumer was arrested yesterday at the protest. Amy Schumer was at one point. And I know this is going to be shocking to everybody in the audience. A brilliant comedian.
Great. Like, yeah, she's great.
She really is. Yeah. And she's fame has turned her into an activist who gets arrested at rallies.
Right.
Yeah. And that's a totally different world.
Give me another 3 weeks. I'm not that famous.
Just kidding. You know, I tell you, though, I think that the smart comedians are the ones like Gaffigan.
Yeah, they're just like, you don't think Jim Gaffigan is a tax-paying working? You don't think he has political opinions?
Oh, yeah.
He sure does.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he does.
Of course he does. But he's like, that's not really... Now, some people are politically minded and smart, and you're like, oh, that's a... But some people are like, you're like, oh, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? You're like,
this is a problem. But that's why your comedy is different, because you were told, write what you know, right?
Yeah. All right, so I grew up in church. I grew up in the South. My dad's a pastor. I was homeschooled, one of eight kids. You can probably guess politically where we fall. So, like, mm-hmm. I don't... But, like, if you're going to... Let's say somebody's like, John, write a joke about smoking pot.
Yeah.
I don't... know of that world.
So
it's not going to be the extent of my knowledge is going to be like, smoke pot and then went to Taco Bell. Like, that's all I know, the 80,000 foot view of that life. But if you're talking about like Christian culture, growing up in church, the South, sports, like these are kind of areas where I've like I have this bit of this was like a lady that has a Bible verse for every type of situation, and people are like, how'd you memorize all those verses? Like, that's in my head. That's just, I live that life. Yeah. It's just mm-hmm. in my head. I don't have to mm-hmm. memorize. That's just who I am. So you're going to be a great comic. You stick to what.
And
a lot of people say you should, like when I lived in Hollywood for 4 or 5 years, and they were like, hey, you need to get rid of this like Christian angles because it doesn't appeal to everybody.
Really? You cannot get tickets to any of your shows.
Yeah, well, apparently somebody's coming. As it turns out. But I don't think it's, you don't think like you in today, there's so, like it used to be when like Johnny Carson could put you on the Tonight Show and you could be famous forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that would make your career. If he invited you over to the couch as a comedian,
Gary Shandling was set for life.
Mm-hmm. And you could tour the United States for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. But now there's so much HBO, Netflix, Hulu, YouTube. There's so much. You don't need to be broad.
Mm-hmm.
I was at in Cleveland and there was the theater right across from the comedy club and it was sold out. There was a line around the block. And I go, who's performing? You would think like the Beatles or somebody like, it's like some kid I never heard of.
Yeah. No,
I go, that's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah. That's amazing to me where you don't have to just go see. And comedy is very subjective. So you could love someone and be like, Glenn, check this guy out. And you could be like, not for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because comedy is very subjective. You can't tell him it's not funny.
Right.
Like, what? This is the guy's funny to me.
Yeah.
So that's what I've experienced so far. But, yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that when I was...
I feel like, does anybody tell you you look like somebody?
Don't say it.
Don't do it.
You
want to do this?
You know how bad it is? Somewhere Colonel Sanders is like, I know, I look like Glenn Beck. I know.
All right, I was going to go in a different direction. I don't know if you ever heard this before. No. I feel like you look like Dave Ramsey with hair.
Dave would actually really appreciate it.
He's a good looking man. Oh, yeah.
All right, this is making me a little uncomfortable, but hey, it's a new world.
Better than you deserve.
Now this isn't helping because the story I'm going into, but when I proposed to my wife, she said no.
Okay.
And she's, though.
I mean, John,
let's
honestly,
be real. Yeah. What year was this?
This is in the 90s.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. And so
it's a rational response, right?
It's the 90s. All right. Yeah, I'm just trying to get an era.
Okay, right. Okay. Yep, so yep. So she said no, and she said the reason why is because we don't have God in common. And I said I believe in God and everything else. Yeah. And she said you don't go to church, and I said I see you every Sunday after church, and every time you come home talking about the people who are honking at each other and yelling at each other in the parking lot.
It's
crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy how people are in church and they're fine, and they're looking at their watch like, okay, come on. They want out.
Which is, you've seen that video of mine, road rage in the church parking lot. It's like, because I make two videos a week, and some of them connect and some of them don't, just probably like your content or your books.
Sometimes
people are like, yes, thank you, we needed that. And sometimes you like put your heart and soul into something, everybody's like, nah. You're like, what
was that one that connected or not?
That one connected huge. Because I don't think you even have to be a Christian to, or a church going person to, you've heard about that from your wife. That you're like, I know how it goes in there. So it's like, and it's just the what's funny is the juxtaposition of, oh, we love Jesus, you know, God first, serve others.
How do you lose it?
But that's the
human, like 20 steps away.
That's the human spirit, wouldn't you say? Like, if you, like, you see someone on TV and they're given a rundown and you just go, that's not right. It doesn't seem right. You're like, that guy's lying. You just know, because everyone is a human. So you're like, you can spot insincerity, and why everybody loves that is because everyone... When people get mad at my jokes at the live show, because you're going to come and the whole crew is going to come tonight, so it'll be perfect.
You can get tickets?
Yeah, we're coming. Yeah, of course. We'll bring you up on stage.
Seriously,
we'll do a thing.
People are like stabbing each other for tickets.
Good. That's our goal.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a good, clean comedy show. You want a few good deaths at the ticket booth.
The people are like, whenever I tell a joke, it's like across the line. I go, oh, stop. I know you guys text each other this personally. You know what I'm saying? I know, when the mics go off, you, and like if there's an interview, they're like, come on, dude, we'll be real. This guy. Like, because that's how humans.
You generally say it on the air.
That's how humans and people, I feel like I've connected with you, because you're like, somebody's telling us the truth out here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what people, I think comedy, people are like, is comedy hard in 2018, I go, I think it's way easier, because you don't, to cross the line, you don't have to say anything. right? Mm-hmm. It used to be in the 90s, you had to say the most profane, disgusting. I can't believe this is coming out of someone's mouth. But in 2018, we heard everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've seen everything. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of coming back to like a Jimmy Fallon type.
I said years ago that I thought the only thing left shocking was what an individual actually felt.
Yeah.
That's the only thing left shocking. Yep. What you really are feeling and want to say, but you don't.
It's like, I can't believe you said that.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I have a joke in my act about it. Like, you ever been like, we're all good Christians in here. Have you ever been driving down the road and seen that cyclist on the side of the road? Like, I wonder if I just like, like, why is that? Why does everyone
that happen?
That joke has stayed in my show for about 4 years because everyone.
Yeah. Because you have.
But what's at the bottom of that? You want to be the person in church that, and then the real human.
Yeah.
Is the guy.
Because we all have a dark side.
Yeah. Is the guy. Now, some might be better or worse than others. Some might be against the law and some not.
Right. Some might actually turn the wheel a little bit.
But the reason why the outrage and the culture and people were coming after Kavanaugh are because you were like, if we can notch him down, I feel like that's why the tabloids exist. That's why Twitter, the outrage exists, because you think these people are above you. The people listening that are like, Glenn Beck is up here.
No, he's, the people listening, no.
Okay, yeah.
He's very low. They listen because they're like, I'm better than that dude. For sure. I am much better than that dude.
So when everybody starts out on even playing field and then you get, you know, that's what you get rich or famous or successful or the CEO, to you be down here and him be up here is not sit well with people. So if we can somehow expose them as a human, and that's what I've said in my act for a long time, every scandal that ever comes out, pastor, politics, athlete, that headline should be person acts like human.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because well, a person acts like them. A human being. Well, some of them are monsters.
some of them are legitimately monsters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was drinking after a long day of work. Like, I get that.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Or he, you know.
That was the thing, and I don't want to get into politics.
Oh, we're good.
But the thing with Kavanaugh was agree or disagree on how the vote goes or whatever.
Right.
People who said, I can't believe he was angry. You called him a gang rapist.
I mean, there's
no human on the planet that you wouldn't go, okay, enough.
Okay, yeah, you're like, there's no avenue for, like, defense. Somebody came after us. We have jokes about kids with, like, allergies, and we kind of, like, make fun of them. Guys, don't laugh. Come on.
Anyway, wow. You went after kids with allergies.
Yeah, I go, it used to be, like, back in the day, you know, like my dad knew how to, like, tile the bathroom. He knew how to shingle the house, fix the radiator. Mm-hmm. He knew it. These men, and if you, like, ask my dad when he was little, like, hey, do you need a jacket? He'd be like, nah, it's freezing, snowing. Nah, you don't jacket. I'm a man. I'm strong. Yeah.
Right.
And now kids are just running around like, excuse me, I have a gluten allergy. And they're bragging about how, like, I have a peanut allergy. One of the jokes is, I got a peanut allergy. And he's like, he can't eat peanuts. He can't smell peanuts. He can't even watch Snoopy. He's very sensitive. And then everybody's like one-upping each other on how weak they are. Like, dude, I make fun of these women's t-shirts. They're like, namaste in bed, like, but first coffee, like, namaste, like, but feed me tacos and tell me I'm pretty. I go, dude, your grandmother, my mom used to make bread, like, make bread. Like,
yes.
That's how, like, the strength, and now people just bragging about it. I can't get out of bed. and what the joke is, like, I go, I feel like we got the best military on planet Earth. The United States got best military. But if we had to go to war and we had to have a draft.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh.
That would not be
good. It's over.
It is
over.
Yeah.
Like, imagine.
Yeah.
Because the draft was 18 to 25-year-old men. That's the Civil War. That's who, right? Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that today?
No.
No. Could you imagine?
No.
People are like,
it's like, you know, as a prepper, a doomsday guy,
yeah.
You get rid of technology, The guys in the caves are going to kill all of
everybody.
Us. Yeah. We'll just we'll be like, please kill me, man. The ATM hasn't worked for a week.
My joke is like they're like I don't know why these terrorists keep trying to take out the buildings. Just take out the cell phone towers. We're all dead. Are we not all dead in 2 days? Yes,
just call us Germany too at that point.
We're like, I don't know, like what happened. I don't know. His phone is at 1%. That's the last we heard of him.
John Chris is a comedian. He's on a national comedy tour. JohnChrisComedy.com. You need to see him in concert. He is really funny. Great for the whole family. John Chris. Comedy.com.
Where are you going from now? From here in Dallas tonight.
Houston, right? And San Antonio.
Oh, very cool.
We clean up in Texas. They like us in Texas.
Yeah, I bet they do.
The Portland show still needs to sell some tickets. Just kidding. I think that one's
John Chris, thank you very much for coming by.
You got it.
Our sponsor this half hour is American Financing. If you are refinancing your mortgage, if you haven't thought of it, you should if you have a adjustable mortgage, because the interest rates are going up and they're just going to go up higher and higher and higher, and it's going to cost you a lot of money. Great options can help you save an incredible amount of money over the life of your loan. If you want to refinance now, you might even be able to combine all of your high credit card debt and everything else and save up to $1,000 a month. Don't wait for the interest rates to increase more. Make a 10-minute phone call to American Financing. They have salary-based mortgage consultants. It is AmericanFinancing.net, AmericanFinancing.net, or you can call 800-906-2440, 800-906-2440, AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
John Chris is with us. He's a comedian. He's on tour. You can find all about him at JohnChrisComedy.com. We were just talking in the break about how things have changed for comedians and everybody.
Right.
That you don't need to. I mean, to get an HBO comedy special used to be the big deal.
That used to be it. That would, like, if Johnny Carson called you over to the couch.
Yep.
It was game over.
Now, have you done an HBO comedy?
No.
Yeah.
This is my biggest credit. He's on your show. I don't know what that says about my career, but yeah.
It's sad. That is really sad. This is usually the end of a career.
They're like,
yeah.
They're like, hey, everybody else, can we get on anywhere else? No, okay, we'll go. Fine. We'll go.
Glenn Beck. Wow, I'm at that point in my career.
Where is it on TV? Call your cable.
Right.
Ask.
They'll find it.
It's a complex. It's very complicated.
But now it is the internet.
100%.
I think that the change was Joe Rogan when he had, to me, the pivot point that nobody recognized was Joe Rogan having Elon Musk on his show.
Yeah.
And
a couple weeks
nobody
ago.
In the media even knew that he was going to come up. Most people didn't even know that he was going to be on or on or smoke dope or who Joe Rogan even was. And he's huge.
But all of us know who Joe Rogan is.
Yes.
We're well aware who Joe, and you meet anybody in the airport, like whoever you like, Adam Carolla or these huge podcasts. We know who, it's funny in Hollywood, because Adam's talked about this a lot. No one in Hollywood will touch Adam Carolla because of some of the things he says. He's the biggest podcast in America. You ask anybody, like, dude, you love the Adam Carolla show. It has to be a secret.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like you probably wouldn't get this perspective, but living out in LA, like, it's kind of like, it's like Trump voters. No one says, hey, but you kind of like have to like.
No, we spent enough time out in LA. It's crazy.
Like, well, because in LA, they were like, Hillary's going to dominate this election.
Why do you live in LA?
I don't anymore. I live in Nashville.
All right.
Yeah. Mm. Because they were like, if you're going to be on the Glenn Beck show,
we only have people on from Nashville.
Yeah. But a lot of those people, where the media is produced, I think, is in New York and Los Angeles in the 3 mile radius around Manhattan or Hollywood. I go, but I've been touring in Wichita, Kansas and in Louisville. I was like, I don't know. There's a lot of Trump supporters out there in the middle.
Yeah. Right.
Like in between.
Right.
I go, I just judging the eye test, the signs, and the yard test.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of...
Texas is changing. There. Texas, I mean, we've got Ted Cruz and Beto.
No, let's call him O'Rourke.
O'Rourke.
That's his real name.
And the yard sign thing here is crazy in Beto's favor. I don't think it's going to happen
Who's on whose side? Who's who?
Ted Cruz is the Republican, and Beto is the... Hispanic
Robert Francis O'Rourke is his real name, and he calls himself Beto.
And Beto, okay, because yeah, yeah. it's the Hispanic okay, nickname for it, yeah. anybody named Robert. Okay. He's O'Rourke. He's an Irish dude. It's crazy.
That's like the perfect comedy, but like, come on, man. Like, that's the comedian's job is to just look at something and be like, come on, dude.
Thanks, Sean.
Welcome to the program. We're glad you're here. Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed, which is tearing up the podcast world and...
Literally tearing it up.
Tearing it up.
I will say podcast numbers, I've seen them. They're huge.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, it's a big show.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Yeah. It really is. And who could be more surprised than all of us? But and you know who's also doing really well?
Fatso?
Fatso's doing well. The podcast Chew the Fat with Jeff Fisher is like...
Yeah, I knew it would. People like Jeffy.
People love Jeffy. And it's inexplicable to us because we hate him. We like literally hate him.
I know. I had to write a memo to all of the, you know, producers and everybody involved in Team Fat. And I was like, nobody could be more surprised than me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a really bad guy, but the performance, you know, is of the podcast is really impressive.
All right. So Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed. Welcome to the program. Glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
Are you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I am.
It's 51-49 Kavanaugh, so they will vote tomorrow. However, there is one vote for the Republican side that is going away, and I'd love to get first your gut reaction, and then let's talk about it.
Okay.
Because my gut reaction was clear, and then thinking about it, I'm like, well, now wait a minute. You're a Republican senator. You are you're going to vote for Kavanaugh. It is this close. Yet your daughter is getting married on Saturday. Mm-hmm. You cannot cast your vote in any other way. You have to be there. You're across the country, so it's one or the other. My gut was, see ya, America. Mm-hmm. I'm with my daughter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's think about this. You are, because this is Senator Daines?
Yeah, from Montana.
Okay, so Senator Daines from Montana. He's been elected by his people to represent them. This is one of the most important game-changing votes of maybe his lifetime. It will, if the Republicans lose this, it will set the standard of how everything else goes from here. It will teach the left, you can do this to anybody. How do you, because I still would say I go to my daughter's wedding, but I don't know how I could reconcile that.
Well, it depends on, do they still win the vote without his?
They may not.
If they're at 50-50. I say go to your daughter's wedding.
Yeah.
If it's...
Let's play the game, though. If it's 49-49, essentially... Yeah.
You'd have to...
It'd be Pence.
Well, no. If it's, well, no. Yeah. I mean, but again, let's say Manchin switches. Right now, one Democrat voted for the Republican. Mm-hmm. So let's say Manchin, who signifies today that he can go and vote for the Republican, but let's say he changes that tomorrow. So it's instead, it's
49-49.
It's not a sure thing. You need Daines. I got to say, like, it's interesting you said that your gut was, I go with my daughter, but in the end, you rethink that. I kind of had the other opposite thought, which was, my initial thought was, this is really important. But then I think of my actual daughter, not like, noun daughter, but like my daughter, Ainsley. She's getting married. Screw this country. I am there. Like, that's like the most important thing in my life. I did sign up for that job, but I did not sign up to abandon my family.
No, you didn't. But your family can be moved. For instance, if the vote is at, 2 o'clock, that is still what? Montana time, noon or 11 o'clock. You could say, hey, move that. I'm going to vote at 2 o'clock Eastern time. That's 11 o'clock. If the ceremony was supposed to start at noon, started at 6, started at 3, and I'll be there.
But the opposite is true, too, right? Like, move the vote.
Yeah, you
can
move the
vote. And that's what they're planning on doing, by the way. If they need Daines, they're going to delay the vote until he comes back.
Oh, geez, delay the vote?
Well, only if they need him. Right now, it doesn't look like they need him. We should be clear about that. It looks like it would be 50-49.
Because that's an easy thing to do. You could just... It doesn't have to be tomorrow at 2.
No.
No.
They can delay it till Sunday very easily.
Yeah, or Monday.
But there's that risk of, like, you know, some new accusation or some other crazy thing that happens. You know, who knows what the Democrats will try, right?
Yeah.
There is a risk there. There is a risk there. But, I mean, I'm not missing my daughter's wedding.
Yeah, I don't. I can't see myself missing my daughter's wedding.
I can't either.
Yeah.
I can't either. I mean, that's your first responsibility, your family, you know, so...
If we're the family, God, family values party, country. Right? Like, if that's what we really are.
Yeah, you'd have to
people
get
would understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but is she getting married in Montana?
Yeah.
Is that,
okay. It would be really frustrating, though, if you lost out on a Supreme Court justice.
Uh-huh.
Because
of a wedding?
Because
it would.
That was my first thought.
It would.
I mean, like, that it would be really... If you lost out on a good Supreme Court justice over a wedding, that would be frustrating.
That wedding changes... Would you want your wedding... to be the thing that changed the course of American history? I wouldn't.
No. You'd almost want to delay your wedding.
Yeah, you'd be like, Dad, go vote. I mean, don't want that responsibility on my back over our heads for the rest of our lives.
I think it was on Friends where they said, you know, it's just basically just a party. And the bride-to-be said, if you say it's a party one more time, you will not be invited. Right? Like, it's not a party. It's really important. And if you're a daughter and you're going through this, you got to have your dad there. He wants to walk her down the aisle. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing more you could say about... We always talk about how these people are just like political robots. Like, this is a real person with a real daughter with a real priority. And but, in a way, I really feel like, wow, that's amazing that he's willing to take that stand in this moment.
Yeah, it is.
But here's the thing, though, also, looking again from the daughter's standpoint, would you want your marriage to start with the Kavanaugh thing one way or another?
No, and in this country, she'd probably get death threats.
Oh, she probably would.
Yeah.
It'd probably
be really ugly for the whole family.
And I don't think Montana has police.
No, there's no police there.
There's no police.
You're from Montana.
You're from Montana.
The mean streets.
Yes, of Helena.
I've been to those mean streets.
Oh, my gosh.
So
you're lucky you got out. You're lucky you escaped.
Do they have the OxyContin problem? Do they have the heroin problem up in...
It's mostly meth.
Meth?
Yeah, mostly meth. Crack and meth. Yeah,
in Helena, have you actually seen it change your town?
The crack and meth?
Yeah.
Well,
seriously.
Seriously?
Yeah, I'm serious. I mean, those are some of the towns.
Yeah,
the towns in the middle of the country are the ones that are getting hit the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are in those towns are like, they're watching them just decay because it's just spreading like disease.
I don't think, in reality, I don't think Helena has a crack meth problem.
The mean streets.
The mean streets.
It's
mostly just drive-by shootings.
Right.
It is hitting them, you know, a good chunk of the country, though. And,
yeah,
and we saw this vote the other day of a major... you know, quote unquote bipartisan agreement on opioids. The vote was 98-1 in the Senate, and the one vote was Mike Lee. He was the no on the bill. And man, if that doesn't make me hesitate and wonder what the hell is
in that
thing.
Bill.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it makes me nervous. I mean, if Mike Lee is voting no on something, it's not like Mike Lee doesn't care about drug victims, right?
Can I just say, I'm sorry, Pat. As a guy who lives in excruciating pain his whole life, as me, a guy who has woken up on the operating table, they cannot keep me down. My body doesn't process that stuff like other people. And I've woken up in the middle of surgery, scared the hell out of the anesthesiologist, but woken up. They can't keep, it takes fentanyl to keep me down. So... I sure do appreciate those drugs.
Oh, yeah.
I just did an interview with, from The Five. He's a friend of ours.
Eric Bowling.
Eric Bowling. Mm-hmm. Did the first interview with him about his son and opioids and everything else. It's a powerful, powerful interview. But his stance now is those all should be banned. They should not make them at all.
The opioids?
Any opioids should be banned. They should not be even available to anybody.
I disagree with that.
That is so wrong.
Yeah.
It totally gives some people an ability to live.
It makes life livable. Yeah, you can handle getting through your daily activities. Otherwise, you'd be curled up in a ball in pain somewhere.
And you'd end up killing yourself.
Uh-huh.
You just would.
Horrific, yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't have that... I mean, it doesn't even negate all the pain. It just
makes it not care.
Yeah.
You just don't care. You're still in pain. You just don't care as much. Mm-hmm.
And there does seem to be a legitimate medical use for a lot of people to use opioids in that
it's
abuse is different than use.
You can get addicted.
Yeah. You do get addicted.
Mm-hmm. You do.
Your body, it's only normal. Your body gets addicted. And it's hell to get off of it.
But I don't know about you, but my doctors are really vigilant about it. They're militant about it.
Oh, my gosh. They are.
They've gotten absolutely Nazi-esque about it.
And I know your doctor, because we have the same back doctor, and we were talking about it. And I always bring you up, because he's always, when I bring you up, because I'll always say, Pat is in so much pain. He's like, I think he's one of the worst pain patients that I have. He's like, I don't know how he does it. And so we always talk about it. And he's told me that the government is coming down on opioids so hard.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know how people like Pat are going to really, I mean.
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
It's going to be hard.
And they're, you know, you got to do drug testing almost every time now. Almost every time.
Really?
Yeah, to make sure you're not doctor shopping, I guess, and getting drugs from somebody else. And you don't have anything in your system but what's supposed to be there. Almost every time I go, I get a drug test.
Seriously?
Uh-huh.
And doctor shopping is an interesting allegation, right?
Yeah.
The idea that different doctors would have different approaches to a particular medical ailment is not surprising, right? Like, you would go to a doctor because you think they're treating it better than maybe somebody else.
No, that's not doctor shopping.
That's what I'm saying is the search for doctor shopping allegations can sometimes encompass some people who are doing it.
Who are doing something legitimate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but there are a lot of people who will go and try to get, you know, whatever they can from somebody.
They're pernicious drugs, but it's like anything. Is the internet bad? No.
Right. It can be.
It can be. Are these opioids bad?
It
no.
It can be.
It can be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like anything with real power and in the hands of each human. You have the choice. You can use them to alleviate pain, or you can use them the way they're not supposed to be used. Mm-hmm. And it's a very hard thing, but you just got to be rock solid. And it is hard. It's really hard.
Yeah.
But banning them is
not a good idea.
It's again, prohibition.
Yeah.
The drug war. Mm-hmm. That's not the way you deal with it.
That's why on Monday I'm going to be doing opioids on the show, and we're going to test that out and see how that works.
How'd the beer go?
It was a lot of beer.
You seem functional.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
Really?
Seriously? If the sentences are still clear.
Yeah, he seems totally, doesn't he? He seems totally clear.
Yeah,
I would not know
totally
he's drunk.
Fine.
Really? Which makes me
so I can drink more on the air.
Which makes me question.
I've been
everything.
Drunk a lot. Yeah. I've been drunk a lot on the show.
Is he drunk every day?
He's a functional alcoholic.
So we just don't see the difference.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Wow.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right. I wanted to share some feedback from our partners at Palm Beach Letter, Tika Tiwari's crypto course. Now, this is a course that is just trying to teach you what cryptocurrency is, what blockchain is, how it works, why it's part of our future, whether you like it or not. 4 or 5-star ratings, everybody. Here's the comments. Very simple course. Very informative presenter. Tika is excellent. I knew a little from various sources, but the how-to pieces were missing. Now I understand what it is and how to buy crypto. I was less than a novice when this course started. The lessons were clear and concise, although still I'm a bit apprehensive. I believe this course has given me the confidence to get into cryptocurrencies. Thank you very much. I read a lot about cryptocurrencies, blockchain, but this course explains a lot in an easy way, suitable for a person like me. Thank you, Nabil. All right. Crypto course. It's a smartcryptocourse.com. You need to educate yourself and be part of the future. SmartCryptoCourse.com. Take it now. It's from our partners at Palm Beach Letter. You can call them for more information, 877-PBL-BECK, 877-PBL-BECK, or SmartCryptoCourse.com. Oh, hello. Welcome to the program. Sorry. I just was handed some breaking news. One of our partners with the Nazarene Fund, one of the people that we work with closely, has just been, she's just won, not even nominated, she's just won the 2018 Nobel Peace Prize. That's amazing.
Wait, what?
Yeah. We work with, we have partnered with just a few people over in the Middle East. And one of the groups that we've partnered with is Nadia's Initiative. And the woman who started that, she was a slave, an ISIS slave. When she was rescued, she saw us. She's like, oh, I want to partner with you. Let's go rescue some more slaves. She started her thing. We help hers and you know, rescue slaves and then, you know, help her. She's just won the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's incredible.
It's incredible.
Can we now say we've won the Nobel Peace Prize? I mean, that's,
I think,
seems right to
I
me.
I think if we are going to play the same game that the Senate, the Democrats in the Senate... I believe I can say Glenn Beck has won the Nobel Peace Prize.
I mean, if Barack Obama won it like 2 months into office, I think we're good.
You know, you sound a little sloppy.
A little bit?
A little bit.
I've had many beers today.
Yes, you have. And only as a science experiment, just because Barack Obama was said that he drank 6 beers in an hour and went to class. Stu showed how difficult that was.
It's not easy, man.
It was
6 beers
watching.
In an hour. Oh, it hurts. Yeah. But when you're on shot 45,
yeah,
shot of beer. Did I slur? Shot 45.
No, just
I may have. I'm not.
You know what he? You know what he is? Is he's totally functional. That's scary.
That's a little scary.
It reminds like you. If I would have had that, I would have been. You know, and Stu, I just have to tell you, I just think that we could just be so much better people.
You know, it makes you think, how many times have I been drunk on the air?
It makes me think you are always drunk.
Why am I making better points today?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I may have to put beer in the budget. Stu needs it. He's much better.
And liver surgery. Removal of liver, you'll need to include in the health plan.
No, we have filter buy. Okay. We're just going to have, they can custom make filters.
I think that's fair.
So go to filterby.com and we'll just get you a liver-sized filter and we'll just pop a couple of new ones in. All right. Have a great weekend. Podcast tomorrow you do not want to miss. Go to Apple iTunes or wherever podcasts are found. Glenn, get the Glenn Beck podcast. Tomorrow's a great one.